you, Jamie. You weren't supposed to make us cry like that, but it worked this morning. I thank the Lord for what she's doing in our children's lives. It's been a blessing for Patsy and I to watch them grow. And I've noticed that since we've started the Purpose Driven Life book, that most of us have been preaching something out of there. I mean, there's so much good stuff in there. And one of the last chapters we read this week was that we have to expect trouble. Trouble's coming our way, you know, because it makes us grow. It makes us who we are. It's how God molds us into what He wants us to be. It's through taking us through trouble. And if you look at Job's life, perfect example of his growth, of his maturity. And then I think it might have been this morning I was reading that our timing and God's is so different. It takes time for us to grow into what He wants us to be. You know, we in America here, we want everything to happen fast, happen quick. We need fast food. Everything needs to happen fast. And God's timing is not fast. I was just reading in my daily devotions this morning that in Psalms 119, I believe it is, that a day to Him is like 1,000 years. Wow. You think how long 1,000 years of. We only live 70, it says, and maybe if we feel strong, we might live 80, it says, in the Word of God. And some of our families have relatives who are living into their 90s and hundreds. So maybe we'll go that long, depending on how long the Lord needs us here. When He returns, He might return for the church before we reach that milestone. Wouldn't that be a glorious day? Just to be caught up in the air with Him through the clouds. And so we'll just be looking for Him on a cloudy day. And He said He's going to be coming in the clouds, and we'll see Him return as He left when He ascended. So we've got that to look forward to. I'm entitled the lesson today, Abiding in God's Word. I've preached already on abiding in Christ. We have a lot of scriptures that talk about abiding in Christ. But today, I'm going to talk about abiding in His Word. How we need to get our roots deep into the Word of God. Spend some time there every day in learning how He wants us to live. And in the book, Purpose Driven Life, Rick Warren says, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. So it's spending time in the Word that makes us like Christ, that makes us become like Christ. And that's what the word Christian means, that we're little Christs, that we belong to Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. I thank You, Father, for helping each of us to see our purpose, to learn our purpose, to learn why we're here. What on earth am I here for? And Father, as we look at the scriptures this morning that talk about abiding in Your Word, spending time in Your Word, learning to meditate and just to share in what You're saying through Your Word. Father, as we look at that this morning, I pray that You'll put the words into my mouth, that I'll say only those things You want me to say, and that now I'll not get in Your way as You share what You want the church to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin in Psalms 119, actually, today, verses 9 through 16. This is just a small part of Psalms. You all know that Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. There's 150 verses in Psalms 119. They're all really good. Actually, there might be more than that. I said that, but I think there might be more than that. Oh yeah, I'm clear up to 176 here. That's the end of it, 176. So I was wrong on that first statement there. I wanted to correct that. Verse 9, how can a man, a young man, keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. And that verse 11 is actually the verse that I was thinking of when I looked this up, because that's a verse that I've memorized from as a youngster. I've hidden your word, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. Most of you who went to Sunday school or Bible school early in your lives learned that verse at some time or another. And that's one of the things that Rick Warren says in his Purpose-Driven Life book that we need to do is memorize scriptures. Get to know them so that you can recall them from your heart. You can. It's important that we memorize scriptures. And I've found for me the easiest way to memorize scriptures is through song. I know a lot of scripture songs. The church that we came from before we came here sang mostly scripture songs. That's mostly what we sang there. And I learned a lot of scriptures that way. It's easier for me to remember them. And I find myself singing them during the day. You know, you're just going along and you find yourself remembering a tune or a verse through Scripture. And so you learn the Word of God that way. And then verse 12 says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So how important is God's word? How important is that to our lives? I mean, God's word is alive. It's life for us. And he says in his book, the Bible is far more than a doctrinal guidebook. It generates life. It creates faith. Produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, and overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. Thank you, Lord, for that one. Infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, brings things into being, and guarantees our future forever. We cannot live without the Word of God. It's life for us. The Word of God is life for us as a Christian. We can't live without it. We have to have it. It's what makes us who we are. And to be a healthy disciple of Jesus, feeding on God's Word must be our first priority. And in John chapter 8, if you want to turn there with me. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8. I'm in 7. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, or if you abide in my word, I think the King James says, if you abide in my word, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So God's word is truth. There's nothing in there that's false. We can rely on it as truth. We know that it is true. And it's always going to be a place for us to go to find the truth. there are three activities that we need or that we must follow as we, if we want to abide in God's Word. And the first one is we have to accept its authority. Accept it as the Word of God, as what it is, inspired, infallible Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, talks about that. Second Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there is one Scripture that proves that all Scripture was breathed by God. It was given to these men to write by God Himself. He inspired them to write. And this one, Paul is writing to Timothy. Why? That's why he was talking to him about knowing the Word of God from infancy, because his mom and grandma taught him from when he was a little child the Scriptures. They taught him to know God's Word, to be able to understand and know God's Word. And so all Scripture is God-breathed. Psalms 119:89 said that His Word is eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Didn't write anything down here for that one, so we'll have to go there. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. It's not going to change. And then Matthew 5:18. Matthew 5:18 says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So nothing's going to be taken from the Word of God. It's all going to stay the same. I was visiting with a pastor yesterday to prepare for, I've got to go next week to share a Gideon message at one of the churches in Mount Gilead, and he was sharing with me how the gay and lesbian movement in America today has made a Bible of their own, where they've taken those things out that they don't like, the way that what they said, so they've taken them out of their Bible. So their people are not hearing the true Word of God. So that's why we're seeing this movement get so strong in America. That's why they believe that they're okay to live that way, and that God loves them even the way they are. Because it was taken right out of their Bibles and is not used there anymore. So we have to make sure that we have a relevant Bible, because man can change even what's in the Bible. So we have to make sure that we're reading a true copy of God's Word, something that has been translated into the rightly, that we can understand and know that it's the truth, because that is the truth that will set us free. The second thing we have to do is we have to fill our mind with its truth. That takes daily preparation to keep our mind full of the truth of God. in Job 23:12. It says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So, you know, as you look at Job's life and what he went through, the trouble that that man saw in a short time, to hear him say this is awesome. That he knew who his God was. He knew the commands of the Lord, and he hadn't lost any of them. He says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. When we can get to that place where we treasure and we're willing to spend time in the Word rather than eat our peas and potatoes. Wow. That's when we're mature, when we can come to that place in life where God's Word is more important to us than our daily food. There are five things that Rick Warren mentioned that we need to receive it. This is talking about God's Word or the truth of God's Word. Receive it, read it, research it, study it, remember it. So we have to, that's why I said earlier, we have to memorize God's Word and reflect on it, meditate. I remember this, I didn't write it down, but I remember he said it in the book, if you know how to worry, then you already know how to meditate. Because worrying is, it's focusing your mind on something negative, and meditating is focusing our mind on God's Word, on something positive. So if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. You already know how to spend that time or that focused thought on God's Word. And then Psalms 119, again, verse 103. Psalms 119:103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. There's really a lot in Psalms 119 that talks about the Word of God. Just the next verse, there's, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. There's just verse after verse. If you want to go through Psalms 119, there's just a lot of verses that talk about the Word of God. The third thing that we have to do is we must apply its principles. Without applying the principles of the Word, how can we grow? We have to have that activity in our lives to be able to abide in God's Word. Matthew 7 is where I'm starting out with this one. Matthew 7:24-27. This is the scripture that talks about the wise and the foolish builders. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So it's like being a wise man to get our roots deep into the Word of God, draw our nourishment from the Word of God. John 13:17 says, "You'll be blessed if you do what you know." James 1:22 is the verse that talks about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We have to be willing to listen to what the Word of God says and walk in the ways that it tells us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. We can read it and get all the knowledge we want. We can know it, but if we don't do it, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. So we have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And today I want to finish up in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Julie, I am about done. You wanted a little heads up, so Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active." It's alive, guys. It's without it being alive, it actually means nothing, but it is alive and it's active. And it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all God's creation, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So we're going to give an account for what we do, for what we become. It takes a lifetime for us to mature in God, become what He wants us to be. None of us will ever arrive and be any better than anyone else. You're all right at the place that God wants you to be. But what I'm going to stress to you is that you have to grow. You can't stay at the place you are, because we need to continually grow to become mature, to become the people that God wants us to be. Yes, we're going to have trouble. There's going to be some hard patches to go through because we need to grow a little bit in certain areas. So God takes us through those. He allows us to go through those so that we can grow, so that we can learn to trust Him. Through some of the hardest times in my life is when I've learned to trust God. I've learned that He's going to be there. He's there to bring me through it. I'm thankful, as Jamie said, for the church, because it's through the rough patches that the church is so important, because you guys helped me through the rough patches. I still remember laying there in that cot and like 60 some of you coming to the house that one night. It was awesome. I was just laying there in my little bed in the corner, and there was people gathered through the whole house. I mean, it was great, because you cared enough to come and share a little bit of time with me. And that's great. That's what the church is for. We're there to rally around one another. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you guys are a church of love that cares for one another, that nourishes one another, builds each other up. That's what the church is for. So if you guys want to come finish us out with a song, just remember to keep your roots in the Word of God. To draw your nourishment from His Word. Spend time daily in His Word. It's what grows us up, makes us who God wants us to be. If any of you have a need this morning, would like to pray about anything at all, why, feel free to come up, and Justin, I'll be here to share prayer with you. And if God can meet your need today. Thank you.